You know, Scooter, yeah, you played songs, but you became a personality. And there was something about you and the way you spoke, and unfortunately I didn't live here, but people loved Scooter Seagraves. Why was that?
Well, getting back to that Robert Burns quotation, John, I listened to me, and I couldn't hear it. I mean, I literally could not listen to me. I got so discouraged. If I would listen to a tape before I went home at night, I slept so badly that the next day I didn't even want to come to work.
Yeah.
And every day when I went to work, I thought, this is the day they're going to call me and say, you know, Scooter, you should be George the Third and be on that small town jingle. We're letting you go back to what you're really built for.
Yes.
And to this day, I don't understand it. I'm so thankful it happened, and I just wish that I had been able to relax and enjoy it. On the other hand, I knew enough people who were kind of marginal in things like I was, and had to rely on some luck or something. They thought they were so great, and they would tell you how great. And I saw most of them crash and burn. So maybe if I'd agreed with everybody else about me, nobody else would have agreed with themselves about me.
Yeah, but you knew that you were doing something great. There's no question about that. So you really dominated, KAKC dominated in the 60s. Maybe, I think it's about 10 years, as the number one station in Tulsa.
Pretty embarrassing thing there, John. We were coming up on the end of the 10th year as, according to Hoopla ratings, which was the thing back then, the dominant number one station. And I mean, when I say dominant, you know, we'd have 44% of the audience, the next closest would have maybe 19, all this. And so the station decided to put out this little braggadocio newspaper stuffer for the Sunday Tulsa World. A decade of dominance. And that all came out of the hell, all this. It was a four-page insert, and it, you know, stuff about each of us and our pictures and things about our background, but just mainly about what a wonderful station KAKC was, how Tulsa just had to lock it in forever. Next month's ratings, KQL had turned to KELI, and they kicked us butts. Decade of dominance. And I remember KELI, one of the things, the king is dead. Mm-hmm. Long live the king.
Right.
But we had to live with that for about somewhere along the way in here, somewhere after that happened, we did get it back, and we were just seesawing back and forth. But I got moved up to PD because the general manager just couldn't stand the fact that Dick Schmitz really was a PD and would say no on the idiot features that were guaranteed to drive away listeners and drive down ratings. So he found him someone who was a yes man. Unfortunately, I didn't know what I was saying yes to most of the time, so I let the station get really, really down. That's when Mr. Mark brought in the Bill Drake consultancy, and instead of doing what they should have done, which was throw me out, they actually kept me as a program director and let Bill Drake and company teach me what a PD really does.
Right, and we should point out that Bill Drake was a Los Angeles radio consultant, and he'd become known for programming in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Boston, and other large cities. So he was recruited to help after you got beat by KELI. So Bill Drake apparently would have to come to the station. Do you remember the day he came?
At the time, and again, showing how little I knew about being a program director, I had moved me, who is the world's worst person about sleeping and getting up and stuff like that, and on top of it, just doesn't have morning man chops. I had put me on the morning man, John. And so here I am getting up every morning at 5:15, driving the half mile to the station, doing my show, going home, scraping my beard, getting the bleeding to stop, getting my tie just right, go going back to the station and doing my office work. I get off the air this one Monday morning, and as I'm walking out, the secretary says, Bob Holt wants to see you in his office. Bob was the general manager. And I, okay, and well, maybe I won't have to shave today. So I go walking back in there, and there are these six guys sitting there, John, and I, if you'd walked in and seen them, you would have probably been as freaked as I was.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this one guy was about 6'7", had on a aviator sunglasses, black leather jacket, beetle boots, flared jeans. There was a guy who looked as businesslike as anybody I worked around and was supposed to look like in the next hour. There's a guy named Bill Watson who had on also pretty hip shades, had a high point collar, and just all of them dressed differently. And Bob handed me this note from Mr. Mark. This is embarrassing. I'm going to get my dismissal notice with all these people to wave and kick me out the door. I opened it and he said, Scooter, I'm sorry I couldn't be here in person to walk you through this, but I feel bad we have not given you the kind of support we needed. You needed, we threw you in the program director without you knowing what a program director should do. And so we are bringing in this group to assist you. And instead of firing me, John, which they really should have done, as bollocks as I had made that station, they let me stay in, and these people taught me basically what a program director does. Although, to be honest, I never had the commitment to the nuts and bolts that it took to be a program director. And it showed, because none of my jobs really paid fully off. I got some smaller stations to do pretty well, but I just did not have the, I'm going to be at it 24 hours a day. That's all I'm going to do. I don't care about anything else.
Right. So,
and that was how I became program director of the Rockin' 97.
But didn't you meet Bill Drake in person?
Oh, yeah. Well, Bill Drake was the guy that was 6'7 with the cool aviator glasses on and the beetle boots.
Okay. All right.
He was there for only the one day. Oklahoma was still dry at that time, and other than being able to go to just about any club in town with your own bottle, which you gave up and then drank from somebody else's bottle, you could get drinks, but he didn't like it that way, so he wanted to fly down to Dallas, and then he just didn't come back.
Yeah. So they taught you how to be program director, so did it work?
We, in the first book, after we cut back from almost unlimited commercials and stupid features in Afternoon Drive and things like that, we cut back to 30 listed records, 8 or 10 up-and-comer, or what we call them, hitbounds, and a few goldens, which were the oldies. Mm-hmm. And within the first month, we had knocked Kelly totally out of number one, and about 4 months later, they started modifying their playlists and modifying back from what they'd been doing.
But you continue to beat Kelly.
From then on, we just wiped them out, because they were still running a lot of commercials and a lot of features that, compared to our features, weren't as audience killing, but were audience killing enough for what we were doing now.
Right.
And so we just, basically waxed them and went from there.
Do you remember a name that was still popular and Kelly? Did they have anybody that was a standout?
They all used the Kelly name, okay? Bill Miller from Coffeeville was Bill Kelly. He was their assistant program director. When they first came in, Joe Henderson, who was Joe Kelly, was the program director. He did 6 to 9. I don't know if Joe came back and did noon or 3 or 9, but everybody else did a 3 hours, and then a few hours later came back and did another 3. And they were all using the last name Kelly.
Yeah. All right. I guess that didn't work, but at any rate, it was a way to...
They kept doing it for years. In fact, the first time that they didn't use it, and it's probably one of the things that saved my bacon after I had gotten typically stupid on a Christmas party on the air and gotten fired, and Bob Hoth was determined I'd never set foot in that station again. We had an afternoon guy, Jerry Adams, who was just illegally good-looking, and Jerry was one of the coolest people you ever met, one of the nicest people, and he was doing afternoon drive. He got called up for active duty down at Fort Bliss, and somehow the word got out that when he came back, he was going to work for Kelly and was going to come back on as Jerry Adams. Kelly at the time, or Kerry Casey at the time, I guess, yeah, we had a six-month no-compete contract. And so he couldn't come back immediately as that, so he was going to go to Wichita Falls and work the 6 months and then come back. But in the meantime, I was working Jim's night news show at KRMG, and I get a call from whoever their PD was at the time asking me if I could meet with him and the general manager one day next week. I said, sure, name it. And he said, we'll get back to you on that. Same day, I get a call from Dick Schmitz saying, haven't had a drink with you in a long time, Scoot. Let's meet down at the stables tonight. Okay, we meet at the stables. I, of course, said, Scoot, you know, you really messed up bad. I said, Dick, I know I did. He said, I didn't have any choice. I said, no, you didn't. If you hadn't fired me, Hoth would have fired you, and we'd have both been gone. But Jerry's coming back, and Hoth is scared. And I don't know, but I think if you come in and just really, really get on your knees to Bob Hoth and promise to be a good boy and to knock off the scooterisms, I think we can get you back in. And the reason that happened, John, is that a kid named Alan Abbott, who went on to become Big Jock at several stations all over the country, he was doing our all-night show, and he was going to move up. And Alan would have been a killer afternoon disc jockey. But at the same time, Chuck Dunaway was putting KBOX on the air down in Dallas, and he had hired Alan to be his all-night man. He calls Alan, says, okay, I need you here Monday. Oh, no, I've got to give him my tuition. No, I'll be here Monday, or that's it. So Alan just walked in and told Bob Hoth and Dick Schmitz, I'm sorry, guys, this is too good a chance, I've got to leave. So all of a sudden, they've lost their guy that would have been the perfect afternoon man for them. They've got Jerry Adams coming back, and that's how I managed to slide my way under the door and get back in to do the afternoon drive show.
Wow.